Therefore, let me take this opportunity to greet honorable members in our meeting today on the 24th of August 2021. I hope members did have a good weekend. They come back fresh to deal with issues that are outstanding in an amicable way, so that we assist the people who have elected us to be here. So a warm welcome to everybody. I see somebody raising a hand when I've not even said anything.
They are out of order.
Honorable MacDonald, can you lower your hand, or is there any crisis? Thank you very much. yes, thank you very much. Members, I can see members are here. Apologies. I've received a letter from the minister who is busy with PRASA and another entity. And any other apology, Honorable MacDonald?
Chairperson, I was waiting for you to actually finish. I can wait patiently to finish the introduction, Chairperson, and the welcoming. I just wanted to raise something before the committee started, Chairperson, if possible. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Any apology? Valerie, you've raised Mr. Honorable Stolle and Honorable Yabo.
And yes, Honorable Chair, and Ms. Nolichungu.
Yeah.
And that is not this week. And the other apology was from Mr. Saram Madwa, who will be joining later because the signal in the village is poor, and the member will be looking for another place to connect.
He'll go to the mountain. She'll go to the mountain. It's okay. Next time, tell her to wake up earlier, so that he reaches the mountain before the meeting starts. Otherwise, thank you very much. Today we need to deal with the issue of Economic Regulation Bill, Amendment Bill. But there are a number of outstanding issues, but before we get to those issues, let's allow Honorable MacDonald.
Good morning, Chairperson. Let me lower my hand before I'm in trouble. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Chairperson, I just wanted to ask your indulgence, Chairperson. There's been two serious accidents in the last couple of weeks, one with a bus in the Eastern Cape where many people have lost their lives. And on Friday, there was this serious accident in front of Parliament's gates with a scholar transport minivan with 22 children inside a 12-seater Kia little bus, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't even know how to word this, Chairperson, but from the Portfolio Committee, we need to be, we need to take a stance on this, and we need to make make the department act on these criminality. You know, Chairperson, that bus traveled without a legal license disc. It was traveling on a temporary permit from Cape Town to East London without proper licensing, Chairperson, and had people on it. Chairperson, if we keep quiet about these things, Chairperson, it means that more people are going to die, and we're not taking our job seriously as elected officials of this country, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm leaving it in your capable hands, and I just wanted to raise these two issues, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
We will deal with that issue just before we wrap up our meeting. Thank you. Just remind me if I do not mention it right at the end. Honorable members, there are issues that were left hanging. We will deal with those issues right at the end. The agenda, as I have it here, it points us to the direction of us dealing with the bill and dealing with the minutes, and we will then load the issues that we did not deal with, like your program, which is here, the updated program. We will deal with it right at the end, and any other issue that is outstanding. So I would want to give an opportunity to the Department of Transport. Where is the Deputy Minister? Let me hear that. Tandi, where is the Deputy Minister?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. I will check with her office now. They didn't indicate anything as yet, but I will check and then come back to write to you now, Chairperson.
Okay.
Yes.
Honourable Mangi.
Chairperson, good morning. And I'm very impressed at your dress code this morning. I need to comment about that. Before the department starts, I wanted your assistance. I've looked at what they are proposing to present, which I agree with. However, there is one point that it was raised at the last meeting, but I thought that we had dealt with it previously before we went on recess, that being the board appointment by Parliament. I thought we had dispensed of it at our last interaction as this particular committee. Subject to my correction or my memory, it would not be right that we re-agitate it, if I am correct. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I can see Cape Town is very cold, and I understand. from what I'm seeing. Let's allow the department to present. This is one of the issues we'll then deal with after the presentation, if members allow. I've noted it here. I have it in my notes. Thank you very much, Honorable Manu. Advocate Makhatu, or do we have Hlabisa today?
Chair, the DG is in the meeting.
Oh, the DG is in the meeting. Thank you very much. DG, how are you?
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
Yes, morning, DG.
Morning, and good morning to the honorable members of the portfolio committee.
Yes.
Chair, thank you very much. I would invite Mr. Moeketsi Sekhudu, who's the project leader on the single transport economic regulator, and for this regulation of transport bill to present before the committee. And we then can engage with the committee thereafter. With your permission, Chair, I would like to hand over to Mr. Sekhudu without the waste of time. We are also joined, Chair, by Mr. Sinathemba Mnivista, who is the Acting Deputy Director General for the Integrated Public Transport Branch, responsible for this bill. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. I hope Honorable Miyaketsi will recall all the issues that we dealt with when Advocate Makhatu was here. I'm sure the department has communicated efficiently. Let's allow, thank you very much, DG, and let's then allow Lado Miyaketsi.
Good morning, Chair.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Chair. And yourself?
I am very well also to be with you. The platform is yours.
Okay. Thank you
Chair,
so much, Chair.
Chair, sorry, Chair. Aish, yeah, it's the cold, Chair. The DG, good morning, DG has introduced somebody. Can we see the person who's being introduced just to greet Chair so that we have a picture of who's this acting DDG? Please, Chair, through you.
Okay. Nadimigit.
Sorry, Chair.
Oh, so this is who's this?
Sorry, Chair. I think member Manu was referring to me. I am acting on behalf of Mr. Tenza because Mr. Tenza is still very ill, but just for this time until he's back. My name is Natemba Mnubisa.
Is this how you really look today, sir? Or is that an old photo?
No, that's just a profile photo.
Oh, you are unable to show us your video. It's okay.
I can show, Chair, although my suit was not here this morning for some reason.
Yeah. No, I can see for some reason the face. Thank you very much. We have seen you.
You must know
we do care about appearance in this committee. I think Honorable Manu did anticipate that your suit is not here today. But be that as it may, thank you very much, sir. I hope we are going to have a fruitful meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
That is cool.
Good morning, Chair. Maybe in the same vein, I might as well show myself so that I am seen that I am also wearing professionally and I'm representing the department quite well. But may I not waste more time and take the opportunity that has been given to the department to respond to some of the issues which were raised in the last meeting, Chair. Good morning to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Good morning to the ladies and gentlemen and the colleagues in the Department of Transport. I will try to share the screen, Chair, with the help of the Valerie and so forth from that side to give me that approval because I don't seem to have that approval from my side.
Chair, I made Mr. co-host already.
Oh, okay. Just a few seconds, Chair. I think it's trying to load now. I'll be with you.
We must see it as it loads.
Can you see, Chair?
No, I don't see anything. But as usual, IT is not a very friendly force of the Department of Transport. I only can see Advocate Alma trying to assist us. There we are. I now can see. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, the department was listening very carefully in the last meeting that we had on the 17th of August, which was literally last week. And the presentation is clubbed or categorized into four areas. That is with reference to the structural implications, which in the main will talk about the phased approach. And then it will then relate to the phased approach instruments that we must use to deal with this matter, Chair. Because I think there was a strong view from the honorable members that the current bill as it stands does not have clauses that relates to including other regulators. And therefore, there was a proposal made on the 26th of May meeting, which I will talk a bit about that. Then the third area is about financial implications. Chair, and the fourth area will be on consequential amendments. Probably that will inform, would be part of the information that will be a base to the A list that would have to be at some point discussed and finalized, Chair. But really the four categories that the presentation will look at. In terms of the scope, which is based on the meeting that was held on the 17th of August, 2021, there were four main issues raised. One was in relation to the staggered approach and the plan under which that staggered approach would be implemented. And the second point was, what is the financial impact? What is the financial implication of what we're looking at now? And to date, the committee has discussed consequential amendments of the bill. What are those from the department's point of view? And if any, which requires clarification, those should be then discussed today. I've noted the fact that there was a comment around the matter around the board appointment by Parliament. I think I would touch less on it, but I would share what we have done from the department's point of view. But Chair, let me pause a bit here and reflect on what transpired on the 26th May meeting, because I think from the department's point of view, it is quite important not to go through the details of the discussions of that meeting, but to accept and concede that there was a deduction from the department, that there was a unanimous support from the honorable members with regard to processing the bill further, wherein the genesis of that process will be around the A-list, Chair. Therefore, somehow, when the meeting of the 17 raised other issues, some of which were attended to prior to the 26 May meeting, the department found itself very confused. But then we then said, we need to raise this matter so that the foundation in which we provide support and assistance to the portfolio committee, we should understand as to what exactly the portfolio committee demands or requires of us so that we can assist in a correct way, Chair. I think I needed to share and raise that matter, Chair. However, we thought best to conform to the request of the portfolio committee as per the meeting of the 17th August, 2021, Chair. With regard to the structural implications or the first approach that we're looking at, Chair, this slide basically says we aim to consolidate all economic regulators into one. And the project itself is called the Single Transport Economic Regulator. So this program is staggered into three phases. The first phase, it's when the bill is enacted or the bill becomes a legislation. Then the Port Regulator of South Africa will be used as a nucleus to establish the economic regulator. Therefore, the port regulator is quite a principal institution that would guide and assist and support the establishment of the economic regulator that we're looking at now. Over and above this institution, Chair, we're looking at consolidating into it the Aviation Regulating Committee, Chair. And then third step within the inception stage is to introduce economic regulatory capacity in the rail sector. We all know that currently we have certain institutions which are a referee and a player. And therefore, there is a serious need for an independent in that space. Luckily, there's support from various stakeholders of the rail sector to have this institution, because it is needed from both private sector as well as public sector, Chair. And there are headways on supporting programs to basically ensure that this regulator functions, like vertical separation and so forth, Chair. The second phase, Chair, that we had put in place, which would then be effective after 3 years of existence of the institution which we're calling the economic regulator is to introduce the licensing capacity across the economic system of transport. This is quite a critical instrument that creates accessibility to the market of transport by using permits, by using licenses and so forth. So you introduce that element across the ecosystem of transport. And it's quite a complex exercise. Hence, we then said maybe we need to allow some maturity to prevail in the first phase and therefore do some groundwork to understand this element quite well. And when we phase it in after 3 years of existence of this institution, we know what we're talking about here. Then the second layer that we then thought would be best to do is to take the current air licensing councils, one for domestic, which is Air Services Licensing Council, and one for international, which is International Air Services License Council, and incorporate those into the economic regulator, which therefore, at this stage, you would be then talking about four layers of institutions that have been incorporated into the economic regulator, supported by the introduction of economic regulation in the rail sector. However, on the basis of the discussion and the department conceding, given the views and strong views of the honorable members from the point of view of saying we need to look at incorporating the cross-border road transport agency, the department considered to say we will move the cross-border road transport agency from the third phase, which you see there at the bottom, and try and fuse it in the second stage of the process, because there's a need that that institution, given its nature of resources, given its nature and amount of resources that it has, it would be of paramount importance that it is brought forward and not left at a later stage in terms of incorporation into this single transport economic regulator. The third phase that we're looking at, which would be in 5 years on the effective date of the institution that we would have set up by then, is to house all transport, public transport related economic regulators, in the main, the National Public Transport Regulator. So in a nutshell, Chair, or in summary, there are three stages. The first stage will be on the basis on which the bill is enacted, depending as to how speedily we move this process going forward. Then in 3 years' time, we will then have to introduce the licensing capacity of the transport sector in totality, then ensure that the air services as well as the International Services Licensing Council are incorporated, then also include the cross-border road transport agency in the process on the second stage. Then thirdly, then house all the public transport related economic regulators. On the third stage, it doesn't mean that nothing is happening, Chair, with regards to the and other public transport related economic regulators to make them mature, make them function the way the economic regulator will function going forward, Chair. I think this slide is quite important, supporting the previous slide, to say if we're looking at phasing in.
My apologies for interrupting, Chairperson, and my apologies to Mr. Sikudu. Chairperson, I'm finding difficulties to read the bottom lines because there appears to be a flag up, which is subject to being hided by, thank you very much. My apologies again for the interruption.
Chair, I'll take you a bit back.
Thank you, Mr. Sikudu.
Okay, thank you. This slide, Chair, basically supports the previous slide, and it also tries to respond to strong views that were made by the honorable members to say, we understand the department's position of phase one, wherein you're looking at starting the economic regulator by using the Port Regulator of South Africa and including the regulating committee, as well as the fact that the instrument that you aim to utilize is to use amendments so that you phase in all other regulators. Honorable members were not comfortable with that approach, and there was emphasis that we need to have some clauses that would then ensure that there would be inclusion of other regulators, which is CBRTA and PTR and so forth. And those clauses would then have to allow a situation where at the time at which the economic regulator that we're talking about is operational, is mature, has gained enough experience, can then consider including other regulators. We therefore thought of these clauses that you see on your screen here, which I'll take you through on chair. What we thought of as the department, and I think somehow it was presented in the last the meeting of the 26th of May, we thought the clause should read as follows. The minister, in consultation with the regulator, from time to time, by notice in the Gazette, may declare that regulators in no particular order are consolidated into the regulator. We're literally giving discretionary powers to the minister to undertake this function. And we then listed the regulators that we know of now, but also allow a situation where at the time at which we proceed with the establishment and functioning of the economic regulators, and there are other regulators which are formulated, then there's an opportunity to also work towards including those, which is A. Then B, it then says, if the minister has determined that either of the following circumstances apply, which is a condition, the department must produce a report which has conducted a review of performance and capabilities to incorporate regulators in 3 years from effective date and from time to time. Basically, what it says is that after the existence of a regulator in 3 years' time, an assessment has to be conducted to check the performance of that regulator. If it's exceptionally performing quite well and it has necessary capabilities to incorporate other regulators, on that basis, therefore, the minister can then consider including other regulators. And subject to that, the minister, before considering including other regulators, may then have to follow a particular process. And that process is described in this follows or prescribed in this manner and form. The minister must publish the relevant report, which is contemplated on what we have discussed in the previous slide, in the Government Gazette within a prescribed period, and must publish in the Gazette a notice that such a determination is being considered and invite public submissions in response to the notice. Basically, this one says the minister would then have to indicate that, for example, the National Public Transport Regulator will be incorporated into the Single Transport Economic Regulator and therefore invite public comments on the matter, and a decision will then be conducted. However, the minister may also then take a further step by conducting public hearings on the matter in appropriate circumstances. That we would then touch on this matter on a later presentation. So really, the items that I have discussed under the slide before this one and this slide, it's what we aim to embed in the scope of application of the bill so that it talks to or it gives those discretionary powers for the bill so that other regulators can then be incorporated. I think the other area of importance that was raised and somehow or somewhat discussed in a number of meetings was the issue of financial implications. I think this slide is important to reflect on the fact that the department conducted an analysis of what really is the cost of the current economic regulators and how do you match those with the intended regulator that we're looking at. And the transport economic regulator that we looked at, which is your first column there, relates to the Port Regulator of South Africa, Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, the Regulating Committee, National Transport Regulator, Air Services Licensing Council, International Air Services Council, Interim Rail Economic Regulator Capacity, and all of these, they would then total to a particular number for various years. What we looked at as a base in terms of the budget and actual 2017-2018 year, and the base in terms of the total at the bottom there showed us that about 249 million would be budgeted for, was budgeted for at the time. However, the expenditure at the time that was used or utilized was about 229 million. However, we then said, what would be a 3-year budget going forward, which you would then see for those years of 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21, and 2020-21 and 22 gives the reflection of a 4-year period if you look at those. However, we then said it is important to go through individual years. What would be an average amount that we anticipate for various cities? For the regulator, you would see that there's an amount of about 33 million rand that is budgeted for, on average, across the four years that we're looking at there. And with regard to the CBRTA, it has a huge chunk of amount that is budgeted for, which is about 132 million rand. And the regulatory committee is about 730,000 rand. And the National Public Transport Regulator is about 7.2 million rand. And you would have a interim rail economic regulator capacity that has a budget of average about 6.6 million rand. So in total, the amount or the average amount of all of these economic regulators, they come to 271 million rand, or just above 271 million rand. Then the question was, when you have STEM, what do you read out of this? What is the impact out of this? Or what is the evaluation out of this? What we then realized is that if you have STEM, there will really be a saving, because the STEM that we look at now, and you see how I am taking this amount of money. That we're looking at, which is at a low scenario base, is to spend or budget an amount of 98 billion rand. At a very, very high level scenario, we're looking at spending an amount of 120 million rand on an annual basis. And therefore, on that basis, you would then have some saving with the consolidation of economic regulation. But that's not only the benefit or the advantage that you get out of the consolidation of economic regulation into one. You tend to benefit from having a standard economic regulation for the sector that is seamless, and you tend to share resources, particularly from the side of HR, IT, and buildings and so forth, as an example. So this is an example to demonstrate that, yes, you need there, it will save the country a lot of money, as we know the situation that the country is in now with regard to resources, particularly financial resources. Yeah. I think the next slide, really just to give a synopsis of the organizational design that we're looking at with respect to the economic regulator, and it gives the numbers in terms of when you have an interim structure, which is 80-20. 80 is more capacity that is related to economic regulation, and which is the core functions, and 20% is capacity related to support services. And you're looking at having about 78 individuals there, or staff. And when you fully functionalize this structure, you're looking at about 134 employees for this institution, and that it's on the basis of the fact that it would be a 70 30 ratio between core and support services. And most of these bodies or employees would be in relation to economic regulation. Both interim and fully functional, they just above 50%. And therefore, serve the purpose which we are intending to achieve here, which is economic regulation, which is that capacity that normally is scarce in the transport sector. This slide generally just gives you a budget that we talked about earlier, but it unpacks it in terms of various elements in relation to economic classification. And you would see that the total current payment, I would take the last column, would be then for 2023, we're looking at about 116.5 million rands there. Then compensation of employees will be, yes, indeed, now that amount, which is 87.5 million rands. Food and services would be 29.8 million rands. And the total payment for capital assets, we're looking at about 3.5 million rands. So this confirms the fact that scenario cost calculation would be about 100 million, and how would that be spent? Those are the categories that have been shared in the chair. Then the share of the budget is determined as follows, which almost half of the pie is for economic regulation, which is followed by finance and corporate services. Thereafter, the chief executive officer and the board will then follow. Then 12% of it will then be for legal services and so forth. So the third part of our presentation is on consequential amendments. The list, Chair, it is not exhaustive on what the portfolio committee has discussed to date since February 2021. However, these are the key areas that have been identified to be of paramount importance for consideration in the A list. Some were sought in the view of getting clarity from the department. Some were decisions made, particularly on the board appointment, as it was indicated earlier on. But just to give a sense, a feel and sense as to what was discussed as part of the consequential amendments, when you look at the bill itself, line 9 to 10, the decision was that we need to omit these ways and infrastructure or because there was a implication of writing those ways. Second bullet point basically indicates that on line 7, we needed to replace the word place and insert or platform, given the fact that we move living in a new technology and place is not always the correct environment in which market gets conducted. It can be conducted without a place. And therefore, if you put the word platform, it then covers everything. And the third layer of it was that we need to omit the must and substitute it with may, underline 34. Then in terms of definition, Chair, the ERT bill only refers to the board committees or executive administrative committees, correct, which is correct, Chair. However, there was clarity that needed to be given as to what the words committees meant. The word committees meant two things, Chair. One, it meant that, in fact, it borrowed this word from the APSA Act, where it was talking to the regulation committee. And it also meant that we're looking at having the executive administration will deal with economic regulation. Then under confidential information, there was therefore a need that we clarify and integrate the role of PIA and POPI, which is quite critical, and we were all given the exercise to ensure that in the bill there's a clear clear indication as to the integration of the two things. Then lastly, on the slide, and there was an issue around the application of the Act with regard to the concurrent constitutional competencies of various layers of government institutions at national, provincial, as well as at local level. So it's one of the critical area that needed to be clarified. Then in terms of other consequential amendments, Chair, there was therefore a requirement that we need to clarify the arrangements of the Transport Economic Regulator and Competition Commission. Because the way the clauses were read and understood at the time, it seemed as if the Transport Economic Regulator will play a similar role to Competition Commission, which is really not the case. But it is important to also add here to say that when the bill was drafted in consultation with the Competition Commission, wherein the clauses that were captured there were finalized in consultation with them, and they felt comfortable with the way they are. Secondly, the bill needed to consider discretionary powers allocated to the minister to appoint the board and the members of the Transport Economic Council. As it was indicated earlier on, the matter was discussed. Even though, Chair, I would like to raise the fact that the view of the department is basically to say we continue with the current arrangement wherein the minister has powers to appoint the board, but it is the decision of the portfolio committee to make as to how to move forward on this matter, Chair, because the project itself is in the hands of the portfolio committee. In that view, we then said, let's then poach a clause that will then cover the portfolio committee, and the clause that you see under open inverted colon, it says the panel of experts must submit, in fact, borrowing from the Broadcasting Act, the clause will read as follows. The panel of experts must submit the shortlist contemplated in subsection 1 to Parliament. Parliament must conduct interviews and make recommendation of at least 6 names in order of preference to the minister to appoint the 6 non-executive members of the board. So in responding to the decision made by the portfolio committee, we then looked at how best to poach a clause that will articulate that decision, even though we still have reservations with regard to giving these powers to Parliament. But it is the decision of the committee to make on this one. The other grey area that needed to be clarified was the role of PFMA as well as the Public Service Act with regard to Transport Economic Regulator as well as the Transport Economic Council. The other most important thorny issue that was discussed for a number of meetings was the issue of who has the legal authority to issue regulations. And the position of the department has always been it is the minister's role. However, the portfolio committee had instructed that it wants to play a role in making these regulations. I think it's one of the areas that the portfolio committee has to finalize. I think I'll leave it at that now. However, there were a number of sections that relate to regulations which always kept on raising this matter as to who exactly has the legal authority to issue regulation. Moving forward, Chair, quickly so as well. The other area was the differences between the price control and price control reduction. Price control basically is termination methods that you can apply. Cost recovery method you can use. The required rate you can use. Price control reduction is basically when an organization within a sector is not implementing the Act, and one of the method of penalizing that institution is to use the price control reduction mechanism, which you would find under Section 11, 12, and 21. Then there was a clarification sought around the processes that would be undertaken for conducting council hearings. A detailed presentation was provided there, but the general understanding and how hearings are conducted is what has been adopted by the bill itself, which is clearly detailed in Section 23. Then there was an issue around civil claims and jurisdiction, which you would find under Section 67. However, after lengthy discussion, it was accepted that we need to adopt it as is. The other area of concern that was raised was with regard to saving of documents to individuals or to companies as to what mechanism are we putting in place to deal with this matter. It's a matter that was looked at, and somehow the department is comfortable with what it has in the bill. However, if it needs to be enriched, the department is willing to do that. The next bullet point about inclusion of other regulators, we discussed this matter. I would leave it for now. Then lastly, on the slide, it's other consideration which were made to change the bill or consider consequential amendments. It's with regard to certain wordings which are embedded in the bill. For example, we may need to change certain words like may to must, vice versa, must to may. We may need to write the correct legislation names, because we would write 1999 of PFMA. So it needed to be written correctly. And under Schedule 1 and 2, we needed to underline areas in which there would be consequences in respect. With that, Chair said, I would like to highlight the fact that from then onwards, from our understanding, obviously subject correction by the Chair and the Honourable Members, is that the Department would assist the Portfolio Committee to finalise the A list and process it further, and the Department is always available to support and assist the committee. Thank you so much, Chair.
There it is. I can see the hand of one of our legal advisors, Raksha Haricharan.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody in the committee. Chair, I just want to thank the department for the presentation. Chair, with regards to, just to make one comment with regards to that presentation by the department, with regard to slides 11 to 14, Mr. Sukuda has discussed possible consequential amendments to the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill. I just like to mention that these consequential amendments could possibly refer to the possible amendments to be included in the A list, as the bill itself, the draft bill, does have a section on consequential amendments in the schedule. So there could be a difference in terminology there. If the members could take that into account, please. And Chair, with regards to the A list, at the moment, I'm still taking into account and considering all the proposed amendments by the members and compiling the amendments for the A list. And Chair, I will discuss the draft A list with the Parliamentary Law Advisor later this week, if the committee can please take that into account. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, you are muted.
Thank you, Valerie. I can see you are still in the meeting. Honorable McDonald, Honorable Chris Hunsinger, and thank you very much, May Raksha.
Thank
you, yes, Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you. I think Honorable Hunsinger's hand was up before mine, but it doesn't matter. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want some clarity regarding the financial implications and one other thing. Chairperson, in the financial implications that in the table that they've given to us on slide 7, it states there that the cost of STAR 2021 is going to be 103 million rand, and on 21-22 it's going to be 108 million rand. Chairperson, if it's going to take, something doesn't add up here, because in 2020-2021 and 2021-2022, we will still have the cost of the CBRTA. And the CBRTA will be 245 million in the first year and 259 million in the second year, and most probably 260 something million in the next year, which still needs to be added back to the STAR at the bottom, because there's no reduction in the cost of STAR, because the cost will still be there for the taxpayers of South Africa. So at the end of the day, in 2020, even if STAR is introduced this year, it will cost 103 million rand for STAR plus the 245 million of the CBRTA. Because in the presentation, they said they're going to, CBRTA will be included after 3 years. So after 2020-2021, it will be an additional 245 million. In 2021-2022, it will be an additional 259 million. And most probably the year before the inclusion of it into STAR for the CBRTA will be another 265 million rand, approximately. So that makes the cost of STAR in 2021, 348 million, 368 million, and 405 million. Chairperson, there needs to be clarity on this. The sums don't add up. Then on the consequential amendments, Chairperson, I thought we would see something more in the line of what was done with the ports regulator. We don't want the situation when the bill is introduced that the bill continuously comes back to Parliament for amendments to add other entities. I thought that we agreed, and I stand corrected, Chairperson, that we want the bill to include all these entities, so that when and if the minister at his will and whenever he feels like it, he can incorporate any one of these entities without the need of further amendments to the current bill. So, Chairperson, those are my two submissions, Chairperson. Otherwise, I'm happy. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald, Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Sekudu for the presentation. Chairperson, just a general observation as introduction. Very little of the content of what we were exposed to now in an effort to enlighten us and give us more insight, given all the issues that we've raised, very little of the content that was presented here today differs from what was presented before. We listened to the approach plan with regards to the phasing in of the entities. We listened to financial implications, consequential amendments, and then about the board appointments. No mention was made of the HR implications, which is a very serious issue with regards to the idea of plugging out functions and plugging in functions and in the formation of a new entity. So the employment and employee and employer conditions are seriously affected. So I would have thought that the HR element would have been presented. Normally it's seen as part of a financial administrative function and that it would be presented there. So I'm rather disappointed that the implication on and around HR was not addressed at all, because it is a serious and a huge implication. A chairperson, on slide 4, where we've seen this phased-in approach, basically under the heading of a intended 3-year plan and an intended 5-year plan, the port regulator is presented as the entity with which the trial phase will be explored and run, which I think is a good idea. But does this mean that the port regulator will then cease to exist? In other words, that all the functions of the port regulator will be incorporated into this new entity? If not, what of the port regulator will remain, and at what cost? Which functions, therefore, of the port regulator, if not the whole regulator, will be incorporated into the new entity, and also at what cost? Secondly, still on slide 4, it is mentioned that after 3 years, ASLC and the international ASLC as two functions currently under AXA will be introduced dependent or subject to the development of a licensing capacity. Now, what is this licensing capacity, and what shortfall within the current structure therefore demands a new formation of a licensing capacity? Because most certainly these functions are currently done. And why should there be a necessity for an improved licensing capacity? Then after 5 years, everything starts to become a bit funneled and widened, as if everything will be sorted out after 5 years, which certainly was not the intended great idea of a single transport economic regulator. And therefore, Chairperson, I cannot accept that everything will be completed after 5 years without any detail. So certainly they should be more detail presented in the same detailed format as what we see from the onset idea of a ports regulator being incorporated, and specifics like air services licensing functions being put in. I would also like to know on slide 5, where there's been made mention of the National Public Transport Regulator. I assume that this is currently regulated under the NLTA, which we have dealt with. And what the implications would be around changes to the NLTA for this then to happen. Then my next question is around the functions of ASLC and IASLC, the International Air Services Licensing Council, which was mentioned as one of the first functions to be incorporated under this economic transport regulator within the next 3 years then. So we are plugging out two functions of AXA to plug them in under this new entity. And we're saying that we will, at the end of the day, have a saving. How would this saving come about then? And what would the benefit be in plugging it out under AXA and plugging it in under the other entity? What would the benefit be at the end of the day? Chairperson, then I put two slides next to each other in my head, which wasn't presented in this way. And this is slide 4 and slide 9. In slide 9, we had the only indication of any financial planning or consideration. And in slide 9, I observe a 20% increase in 5 years. Whereas on slide 7, the argument is pushed for a 36% saving. So the saving is diminished within 5 years, a saving which cannot be trusted, because if I add up the total average, it doesn't add up to the total number there. In spite of our objections of the numbers not being correct, it is still not correct because it's the same slide, which is simply copy and pasted and presented to us as new information, which it's not. 272 million should be 271 million. So there's a million just being ignored. And Chairperson, I cannot accept that you can do and execute the same services with a 36% budget. In other words, a more than 60% saving. I just cannot accept it. It's never worked out in that way and it never will. And part of this is exposed in slide 9, where there's a 20% increase in just 5 years on the initial budget, which makes all these figures unbelievable and a fantasy at most. It is rather ambitious, to put it politely. Advocate Aricharan touched, I hope that she would expand on it, but she touched on a major concern which we asked the department to help us with, and that is with the consequential amendments. The consequential amendments are not just the surface-like stuff that has been thrown back at us, but it is all the legislations of all the entities which is intended to be incorporated in this single economic transport regulator. So we have a huge concern about all the acts and the current pieces of legislation that will have to be changed and amended in order to then at the end of the day achieve this single economic transport regulator. In presenting the 3 to 5 years, certainly does not incorporate the initial idea of a single transport economic regulator. And therefore, Chairperson, I ask myself, what is the benefit of plugging out functions and plugging it into a new entity, which would need financing all in itself, because it is quite clear that the entities would still remain, the 12 entities would still be there, and that their functions would simply be diluted, which then has this enormous implication on employees and on current roles and functions. So Chairperson, in summary, the uncertainties unfortunately continued for me with very slim assurances provided in this presentation, which I was hopeful that would clarify a lot of these issues. I still remain asking myself, what will the benefits be other than just a centralization process? How would services be improved through this? And how would service delivery be improved through this? And those two questions remain even after today's presentation, that I still remain unsure, with very limited assurances provided, how services would be improved through this and how service delivery would be improved. I see this simply as a plug out and plug in function of a great idea initially, which picked up issues, and the issues are piling up and it's not being dealt with adequately. We got the sniff about this when STER changed to ETR, and unfortunately, clarity is not being provided as we query the process. Chairperson, the dilemma which we have as a committee, as a portfolio committee of Parliament, is that a certain idea was published in a gazette upon which stakeholders and a public participation process followed, of which we considered input, but that it has changed significantly to what was published. That is the dilemma which we as a committee now sit. We cannot simply therefore continue because it is different in its design and different in its current form than how and what was published for public comment. Therefore, Chairperson, that is my position. That's where I stand. I concur that I think it is a great idea, but I think more thinking should be put in this, but definitely with more evidence-based and better prepared information so that we understand how the phased-in approach actually will work out as a plan, what the real financial implications are in a properly prepared financial analysis with figures that at least add up and not have differences of millions. What the consequential amendments are in terms of legislation with implications to all the pieces of legislation that would need to be changed. And then lastly, Chairperson, the HR issues, which are serious ones. How would that be handled? And I can recall that there were issues around pension fund. That's the depth of information that we would want to see. And to what extent this idea can actually be executed and transformed into progressive legislation. Chairperson, I therefore propose from my side that further thinking and design be put into this, substantiated and verified with properly prepared information. Thanks again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hunsinger. Matiwa Tabemo. Makosini Shabangu, the Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation. My simple question is with regard to the minister may conduct public hearing on the matter. I think the word may is not enough. It must be replaced by the word must. Because if you say may, it means that the minister, if he wants, he can do that. If he doesn't want, he cannot. Therefore, the word must forces him to do his job. Then I would like to know how often is the minister conducting public hearing? Also, I would like to know the importance of public hearing. Are these public hearing conducted in all provinces of the Republic of South Africa equally? Because they are most important and they are also letting the people of South Africa to take part in the processes of the government. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makosini, Honorable Ramadan.
Nolivua, Zurachi Duro, Singa Cheva Neton, and the Macheron. Honorable Chairperson, let me first start by appreciating the department that we asked them questions and we sent them back, and they came back today presenting the response. Thank you very much, the department. After listening to what the department has presented, they raised an issue of appointment of boards. My understanding, and I'm of the view that the department can continue appointing or continue with the present arrangement. We must not change. As a committee, we can't afford to have to appoint boards for all the entities that we are having as the portfolio committee. So the department, the minister can continue doing that. Secondly, the issue of regulations. I think the minister must continue to issue regulations. These are some of the things that I understand. That's my view. The other thing, Chairperson, is that my colleagues have asked questions, and I know the department must respond to those questions. But I now propose that we adopt this bill, ERT bill. That's my submission, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ramata. Any other hand? No hands? Nademeke Tsikhudo, you want to quickly deal with some questions?
Yes, Chair, if you do allow me to.
I do allow you to.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, for the questions and some comments made. I think my response will follow the way the questions were raised as per the honorable members, some of which would be thematic so that I address most of the questions. Okay. I think with regard to a question that was raised by Honorable MacDonald around financial implications. I was thinking aloud as he was raising the differences of what we have presented vis-a-vis the anticipation of the financial implication. And if, subject to correction, what I understand him saying would be to unpack financial implications per three phases, because the example that he has made was that as much as we have high level financial implications for an existence of a fully fledged economic regulator, we must factor in the facts that relates to phases. For example, let's take inception phase. It says we're considering the POTS regulator, we're considering the regulating committee and introduce economic regulation, which would need its own resources and so forth. We were needed to propose or to put on the table financial implications with respect to that vis-a-vis what would be existing at the time at which we're rolling out this program, which is my understanding now that I'm getting from his comments. And it's something that we can do to unpack that, Chair, and so that we show exactly the element that relates to the single transport economic regulator that we're talking about, vis-a-vis those institutions would not be part of the economic regulator at that given point in time. So it will be clear. But on the whole, Chair, it doesn't change the status quo with regard to our assessment of saying the low scenario that we're looking at, it's 98 million rands, and the high scenario that we're looking at, it's 120 million rand, which is one of the areas that has been discussed, but I'll come to that now, Chair. I think, Chair, the consequential amendments with regard to the POTS regulator, which is the second point that Honorable MacDonald raised, it's clearly captured in the Schedule 1 and 2. And the intention there is, it is clear to say that the POTS regulator will become part of the single transport economic regulator, which will be non-existent, meaning that what you could simply do from a simple point of view, you would change the name from the POTS regulator to single transport economic regulator and then incorporate others and build it on from then onwards. That's the intention, and the consequential amendments specifically talks to that. However, it is important to state that when the issue around consequential amendment was raised, it was on the basis of the fact what has been discussed to date and what clarification can the department give in certain areas, which I think we have done in the number of meetings. And coming to Honorable Hunsinger, there's a lot of issues that he has raised, but I think thematically I could round them into four. One, he has made a general observation with regard to the fact that what we are presenting, it's totally not different from the previous meetings. That's one. Secondly, it's the issue around the implications of human resource. Thirdly, it's the issue around the phase approach that in the main talks to the licensing council. And thirdly, it's when we're talking about absorbing the port regulator, are we talking about taking it into stay in totality or part of it? If it's part of it, what would be those issues? And finally, I think it's issues around the National Public Transport Regulator issues around the National Public Transport Regulator and what would be the impact in the NLPA. And fifthly, it's the number of consequential amendments that relates to all legislations that needs to be addressed. I would not respond to the first part, which is the general observation that indicates that there's little different from the presentation that we've made today to that of previous meetings. But with regard to HR matters or implications, it is difficult for the department to provide concrete details in terms of moving Allen from the port regulator to the single transport economic regulator. We can't do it now. We don't want to thumbstack that exercise. But the department, what has done, has undertaken a process where we would want to conduct an HR migration plan or an HR plan that would then talk to issues of migration and labor issues and so forth, including issues of pension funds. So we've left that area purposely because it is easier to come before you, honorable members, and say things, but you then go back and you find that you've said things which you shouldn't have said, because this is a sensitive matter and a proper plan has to be in place to do that. So it's one area of work that the department is indeed working on. With regard to the ports regulator, in brief, because I've spoken about it, the ports regulator will be non-existent. The whole of the ports regulator of South Africa will be part of STEM, because the total intention of the ports regulator is economic regulation in the port space. So we utilize its resources in totality to become STEM. So the consequential amendments that you see in Schedule 1 and 2 talks to that. So it's the area where we think we have challenges as to which element should go to the STEM, which is why we have left it to become third phase initially, and now will become second phase, is the cross-border road transport agency. Functions and responsibilities related to enforcement, policing, and all that stuff, they are not economic regulation. So we need to clearly distinguish which portfolio within the cross-border road transport agency relates to economic regulation. And if indeed you take up those functions, what is the impact to the current act that governs issues of cross-border road transport agency? So it is important that a proper analysis is conducted with regard to that. But I think we are comfortable that on the second phase, after 3 years, we should be ready, because some of the things you will do them in parallel. We should be ready to basically absorb the cross-border road transport agency component that relates to economic regulation. Thirdly, indeed, finally, the National Public Transport Economic Regulator will be incorporated. it has an impact in the National Land Transport Act. If you look at page 39 of our bill, there's an element that talks to section 21 that will be amended. And that section 21, I think it talks about determination of fees by the regulator. So that component, because the focus now that we are at now, it's more of providing economic regulation in terms of determination of fees. And lastly, which is issues around consequential amendments, looking at all legislations, I would want Ms. Harichana to come in here. However, from the project management perspective, we have since identified all necessary legislations which you would see under Schedule 1 and 2 that affects or would be affected by this bill, and therefore even ring-fenced or isolated the clauses that are necessary to be amended. However, I'll be guided legally here, and if possible, Ms. Harichana and Advocate Masombuga, if he is part of the meeting, to address this matter. I think generally, there's a view from Honorable Hansinger to say the plug-in and plug-out doesn't work, meaning that the single transport economic regulator that we're talking about, it's not exactly the actual idea. Basically, what I'm interpreting what he's saying is that we need to take a big bang approach. When you talk about the single transport economic regulator, on day one, we therefore have all the entities under one, which is a serious risk for the transport sector, which is what we avoided. But we looked at that mechanism, but we thought it would not be best to approach it in that way. It would be best to phase it out, which is the 5-year period that we have presented. Honorable Shabangu has raised issues around the may vis-a-vis must in relation to conducting the public hearings. Chair, we will look at that one. Obviously, I'll be advised by the legal professionals that works with us. And there were two more areas of questions raised. How often does the minister conduct public hearings, and how and where exactly these public hearings are conducted? I think from my little knowledge that I have, I think here legal as well will come in here. Public hearings in the main are conducted when a specific legislation or instrument that government wants to put in place. And those public hearings are then determined or conditioned in terms of that specific legislation or instrument. Let's take the ERT bill itself. There were public consultations that were determined on the basis of focusing on key stakeholders and engaging them through the government gazette and so forth. So there are different methods in which you can conduct public hearings. I would not, and sometimes my personal issue, I would think when the clause says the minister will conduct public hearings, it specifically does not say the minister himself or herself will conduct those public hearings. It actually says the department on behalf of the minister would then undertake those public hearings. I think I would not spoil the points raised by Honorable Raman. I will leave them as such, but acknowledge them. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honorable Man.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I've been listening very attentively, Chair, to the response by the department, the input by my colleagues, very well thought through. I think as a committee, we are very blessed. We are endowed with real, thorough people here, which I think we must pride ourselves on. Chair, I'm taken aback to the 26th of May, 2021. I remember at the time, just that my memory might fail me because of the long time, there were about three proposals of a way forward that were suggested. If I recall well, there was a particular decision we took as a committee to support a particular direction, which I think was the phased approach. There were about three proposals submitted. I'm trying to dig deep into my memory. I think on the same meeting, the issue of board appointment, hence my comment earlier, Chairperson, was discussed. And I think there was a resolution taken on that day. So having said that, without going into detail of what could have, what could not have been discussed on that day, and again, subject to your guidance, and not undermining what my colleagues have already said. And there was a particular proposal by my colleague, Honorable Ramadwa, which in my view, I find difficult to support for the reason that it seems to me to be exactly the similar proposal or resolution that was already taken. Now, if I'm correct, I don't think it will be right us to adopt a resolution or agree on something that we had already agreed to before. My proposal, therefore, Chair, notwithstanding once more what my colleagues have said, is that we accept what has been presented to us or maybe not. I do see that tomorrow we've got another opportunity to look at this particular bill according to our program, and I propose, Chairperson, that taking into consideration everything, we go back to the minutes of the 26th of May, assisted maybe by the Secretariat, we look at what resolutions we took, and then tomorrow we can, as we start here, maybe be refreshed as to these are the resolutions you took on this particular day. And you have been discussing this again, where to go. And we would have had an opportunity as individuals or collectively to go through those decisions and tomorrow be able to clearly decide which direction we go. And lastly, Chairperson, once more, I don't want to sound like I'm underestimating what my colleagues have submitted, but I'm just saying, given the time lapse and all these things, it might be fair to everybody that we note what has been presented to us and my colleagues' inputs, and then tomorrow we give ourselves a chance to relook at this thing and move forward. That is my submission, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Asibonge. Asibonge ebawo uLisa wakwaManqu. Bawo u McDonald.
Chairperson, apologies. I think I was mostly covered by Honorable Manu, but I wanted to add my voice to Honorable Ramatwa. I don't want us to delay too much what we are doing, and I propose that as we move to get clarity on what we have said, that we move on speedily to the A-list, Chairperson, and that we get to a point where we have a bill that can be submitted. But on that point, Chairperson, that was my submission, that we find a way that we can continue on a speedily fashion so that this bill can be implemented eventually, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think it's only correct that we should allow a space for all of us to refresh ourselves and move forward. I am persuaded by Honorable Manu that let's just visit our minutes of the 26th of May. If you no longer have them, let's request Honorable Valerie to send it to members so that we are clear. I do have the minutes with me and the decisions that were taken in that meeting. I thought I should say that. Let me hear what Honorable Ramadoy say.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. My view is that let my colleagues satisfy themselves. I agree with the proposal, but I'm still standing with what I have proposed. That we'll discuss maybe after what has been proposed by my colleague, Honorable Mang.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Ramadwa, maybe we should step off this item. We will, the first thing tomorrow, decide after having visited the minutes and closed this matter. I think this matter has been dragging now for some time. We need to close and be able to have a way forward on it. Thank you very much. On that note, that day, Miyaketi Sikudo.
Yes, Chair.
I may just want to say, as much as you were correct on many issues concerning the 26th of May, we may, on the part of the department, also request consistency in terms of attendance of our meetings by those officials who are assisting us, because one of the problems that we normally encounter is, as I've said earlier this morning, when you change officials now and then, the officials that are coming do not know and are not privy to the discussions that took place before they were sent. So I think on your side, if you can help us with consistency, we will be able to move forward quicker. I thought I needed to say that.
Noted, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. DG, do you want to say something before we step off this matter?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm covered, listened attentively to the issues raised by members. And as the members can see, we are making strides and attempting to indeed meet the expectations and to respond to the issues that have been raised as concerns and to attend to those and to look into them with the seriousness that they deserve. And we have paid attention to those issues and presented them here today. So we will take guidance from the Honorable Committee as to how we proceed on this matter. And that will be my last comment, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. DG, do you perhaps have a clue in terms of the whereabouts of the Deputy Minister?
No, Chairperson. I think maybe Tandi, as she had indicated, she would check. She can report.
Tandi?
Chair, yes, the Deputy Minister, they said to me she's in the meeting. They will send an apology letter and then I will send it through, because they don't have a PLO at the moment. I'm still assisting them.
Okay, that's good news that you are assisting them. Look, let's not reinvent the wheel. We do not really necessarily want to go after honorable members for them to do what is right for this meeting, Tandi. We just need to greet the deputy minister. We want to hear the voice. And can you then pass the message? you can't have a situation where you apologize even before you are acknowledged. We would want to see the deputy minister. And on that note, I think we can release the department and to continue with what we need to do for the day. Thank you very much, DG and your officials. Be prepared tomorrow as we move forward. Thank you. Can we now then move to minutes? Or maybe let me deal with the program before the minutes. We have a program in front of us, which I think Valerie has indicated that Parliament has rescinded its own.
Apologies, Chair. Chair, according to the agenda, the briefing on the Transport Appeal Tribunal Amendment Bill, unless that agenda of today has changed, but obviously Chair can direct the meeting in the way he wants to. I thought I'd just highlight that to the Chair. Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence.
Valerie?
Chair, the briefing is tomorrow.
He's the chairperson now.
Sorry, I have to, sorry.
No, I've said Valerie.
Let me protect the chairperson. He said, "Well, take over."
My apologies. My apologies. I'm ahead of myself. I withdraw, Chair. Thank you.
Who's the chairperson?
Honorable members, there's nothing wrong with what Honorable Manu was doing. I have gone through the program. I have seen that that briefing is tomorrow. I just really wanted Valerie to confirm. And Valerie, you are confirming. Today's agenda has two items in the main. It's the item that we have just dealt with and the minutes, and which will include our program. Am I correct, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, that's correct.
Thank you very much. Can we now deal with the program as part of the issues that were outstanding? I was saying the Parliament has since rescinded its program to the 15th of October, which is actually 5 weeks, full 5 weeks, as I noted it. And our program is also talking to that change by Parliament. Valerie has indicated earlier on that we will from time to time adhere to the changes by the Parliament, and that makes this program a living document that can from time to time be enhanced according to the needs of the committee and the needs of the Parliament. So the program is in front of us, honorable members. I know that honorable members would want us to also engage on the issues of oversight and the issues of legislation. I open the floor to the members to deal with such issues and finally note the program or adopt the program as a a living document that will from time to time be enhanced. Let me allow hands that wants to say something. I can see Honorable Mang. I can see the photo, the old photo of Honorable Mapena, but the hands is not up. I can see Honorable Ramatwa. I can see Honorable McDonald. I can now see Honorable Mapena, and in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once more, apology of the first issue. I was ahead of myself. Chair, your comments in introducing this draft program are well acknowledged and accepted. I think, as you have always said, that we are doing very well as a committee. We've processed quite a lot of pieces of legislation. Now, I think our function is more than just legislation. We have got an oversight role, which I think we have not played very well in these times. And once more, I want us to seriously consider oversight, as we discussed last week, and let's take advantage of the extended period of the term and do that. We had already identified areas which I think needed us to endorse. We had said KZN, I think the matters were deliberated. I will not repeat them. We had said Gauteng. We had also said Mpumalanga. There has been some coming up of things there happening. So I want to move officially that this draft program, as we accept it as a living document, we factor in this oversight as already agreed to by this committee. Lastly, Chairperson, I see there is a bill that I already asked about tomorrow, which is the Transport Appeal Tribunal. And there's also a rail safety bill on the 1st of September. I'm not sure what are the implications if these two bills are postponed to the next term. If that is possible, and again, I'm saying this not understanding when they are at this level, what could be the implications? And so that we can clean up what we already have and make sure that we take it to its logical conclusion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Jamba, sinokuzwile mfowethu. Ake sithathe seduze kwakho. Bo Ramatwa.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. What I wanted to raise has been raised by Honorable Mang. I wanted to raise an issue of oversight, as we have discussed. But I also want us to add Western Cape, KZN, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape. We dealt with many legislation, and we know that one of our responsibility is to make laws. And now we can't just sit here and listen to the stakeholders not seeing what is happening. So that is why it's important for us to do oversight. So I support what Honorable Mangu has said concerning the places where we need to do oversight and add Western Cape, and that if it's possible, let's us put aside those bills and make sure that we deal with oversight. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. That's my submission.
Ndolebuwa Ngamanda. Nda. As, geichtem Lawrence McDonald.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Vir die kans om iets te sê. Voorzitter, Ek dink in ons besoeke aan KwaZulu-Natal moet ons ook asseblief seker maak dat ons die Mooirivier plaza en die omgewing besoek waar daar so baie trokke gebrand is, dat ons net miskien onder agter die kap van die byl kan kom om te kyk wat is die oorsake van al die en miskien net gaan kyk op wat die skade was daar, want daar was redelik baie skade in Mooirivier gewees, agbare voorsitter. En dan stem ek saam met wat die vorige persone gesê het, en dan sodat ons kan KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng en die Wes-Kaap besoek. Dankie voorsitter.
Dankie baie. Agbare lede. Ek sien dat agbare mei is ook en die lees van die hande dat ek nou na meneer Mabena toegane. Sirakela pambili, masithokoze ba uMabena.
Bayede Chairperson, sithokoze ithuba kulotshise abalingani namhlanje kuseni. Chair, I think with regards to the, I just want to check in terms of the details thereof, because seemingly the committee were agreeing as to which provinces were going to visit. But in terms of the when and how, I believe that then the secretariat would have to go and work on the program as we are agreeing that it's a living document. And then that means in the next committee meeting, they will come with proposals and then we'll do that. And then one other issue that I wanted to check, Chair, over and above that, isn't there a slot in the portfolio committee? I know that we will be going to Gauteng, but isn't there a slot where we can ask the Department of Transport to come and make a presentation with regards to the issue of the DLTCs, where you have a situation where a lot of people are currently will be driving illegally on the roads. Maybe the Department of Transport can take the committee into confidence prior to that, so that we can see if there is a plan in place that will not make our oversight to not happen anymore. But maybe the Department of Transport to take us into confidence, what measures are they putting in place? What is the plan? Is there anything whatsoever in the pipeline that will be dealing with that issue? So I think my proposal is that one, we obviously ask the department to come and make a presentation and brief the committee with the chaos that is happening in Gauteng, and obviously the issues of KZN, Mpumalanga, and the Gauteng issue is supported. Thank you.
Let me get you clearly. You want the department to brief us even before we go to the oversight, Honorable?
Yes, Chairperson, that will help. Because remember, when we go to an oversight, the parliamentary liaison will send, obviously, the communication to the province. Chances are that the legislature might be joining us or they might be hosting us, and they might be giving us briefings there. But from a national perspective, from a national level, because the issue, as much as it is not the regional issue, because unfortunately in it is, it's a system of national government. It is a byproduct of that, and therefore the regions, the provinces don't have much control on it. And the challenge here is the issue of the systems as it is currently. So I think we can get a briefing. We ask questions, we pose questions, satisfy ourselves that we've asked all the questions, but oversight continues. Because remember, the purpose of oversight is not only to get presentations, but is to speak to people on the ground. As you've always said, Chair, that our role is not limited to be in Parliament, but is to actively engage with stakeholders, which are the citizens that voted for us in those different areas that we'll visit in Gauteng.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Member. Akhbare Liede Pitmey.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we must also include the Eastern Cape, especially Nelson Mandela Metro and the Buffalo City. They mentioned all the names except the Eastern Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, maybe yeah. I should support you. We have never gone to Eastern Cape, as far as I can remember. Okay. Those are the issues that members have actually put on board, and so the Boramata.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm sorry. I wanted to indicate that is it possible that when going to those provinces, we invite provincial legislators to be part of us, because we are at the national level and they are with the people. So now when we, after doing oversight and observe some of the things, they are going to continue with what we have recommended. So that's my request, if it's possible. Secondly, I also want to support what Honorable May has said. Why? Because now we are going to put aside the legislation and focus on oversight. So if it's possible, we can also do that. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Boramata. I hope you are finished now. Ntate Makhosini, tsola le tla morao morena fela re ke leng.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you very much. I would like to check as to whether what is the importance of this oversight.
Wow.
We went to Free State. We found that things were not up to standard. And we were also disrespected by the officials there and whoever. And up until today, we have never had anything that has happened in the Free State with regard to our visit to Free State. I would like to know that when is the follow-up going to be done? Because according to sources, there has nothing been done up until today in the Free State with regard to the things that we are supposed to have seen there. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think on the 21st, we are debating, amongst others, our oversight visits. That will also include the Mangaung one. We are creating a bit of space, Honorable Makhosini, because oversight is very important, so that we need to make follow-ups where follow-ups are needed. And I thought I should just indicate that. Can we now lower our hands and allow us to continue? Valerie, I think you did grasp the areas where members want to go. We may prioritize the areas. We may not be able to go to all these areas. Key to the areas is KZN, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Western Cape. And some members have said Moi River must also be part of the areas where we'll stop because of the damage there. At this moment, honorable members, there was an issue of legislation that is too much. I don't know if advocate wants to comment. There was a strong feeling that we should have a bit of a breathing space in terms of legislation and do diligent work instead of being piled up by legislation after legislation. We are to introduce a new legislation. I think at this point, a request is made that we should relook into the possibility of dealing with this new legislation. I know the Honorable Member said next term. It may not necessarily be next term, but maybe let's see if we can accommodate it next year, which may be next term, of course. Valerie, do we have any comment or advocate?
Chair, it's my duty to respond to that. Many members may not know that the committees are required to report weekly on the progress of bills. So these two bills, the railway safe, the railway bill, and the transport tribunal bills, they will not be processed this year, Chair. There's simply no space on the program for that because it's already two other bills before the committee. In terms of planning, the bills will be were introduced, so these are just the first introductory briefings on the bill. That will give the committee time to publish these bills over a longer period and give stakeholders more time to make comment. And also to give our staff, once those bills are received, to give the staff, Advocate Nell and Dr. Ngesi, enough time to process through those bills too, and to draft the summaries, especially for bills that may receive a lot of comment. It is not ideal, Chair, to publish these bills towards the end of the year. We are go towards the end of November, we're going into silly season and people don't necessarily respond to bills at that time, also in January. So by publishing these bills now, there will be enough time for comment to be received on the bill. But in terms of planning, there's no way that the committee will process these bills. It will be next year, Chair.
Okay. Хорошо. Honorable members, with that having said, can we move to adopt the program as a living document with all the inputs that will come back to us and will from time to time enhance where we need to enhance the program? Bodamado.
Chairperson, thank you very much. My understanding is that we are not saying we are not going to deal with bills, but for now, we want to focus on the oversight and also making follow-up on the oversight that we have done, as we have indicated that we are going to debate on the 21st. For now, for tomorrow, let us not deal with that, but we'll deal with that, but let us focus on oversight. Thank you.
Let me hear you clearly, Honorable Ramada. I think Valerie was saying these bills are here in front of us for a motion of desirability, which takes about 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the main. And we are done with that part so that they can process the bills in the meantime as we are moving. Am I correct? Am I interpreting?
Chair, Yes, Chair, that's correct. And also then we can report to the National Assembly that there is now progress on processing of the bill, as we are required to do so on a weekly basis.
It's 11 hours.
Okay. I think I do hear that. Honorable Mapena?
No, Chair, apologies. I think I was about to endorse the program, but I see that question, you've withdrawn the question. So let me also withdraw my hand. I'll come back when you ask that question again.
No, the question is asked. I was just clarifying, Honorable Ramata.
No, Chairperson, I think as with the understanding that it's a living document and that we are going to do the oversight in the provinces of KZN, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the possibility of the department coming here and giving us a report, I wholeheartedly, unreservedly endorse and support this draft program.
Okay. Honorable Mangi.
I wholeheartedly, unreservedly second the proposal by my honorable colleague.
Okay, thank you very much. That was on a lighter note. Thank you very much. The program is now adopted. Honorable Boramadwa.
Thank you, honorable Chairperson. I support, but adding Eastern Cape and Western Cape, as we have discussed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's come to a matter. Thank you. You can lower your hand, honorable member.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I think on the previous meeting, we had agreed that we would perhaps limit meetings on Fridays. I see that with the current program now, we have a meeting on the 8th of October, we have a meeting on the 3rd of September, which is also a Friday, and also on the 20th of August. I'm not sure if, and also on the 15th of October, I'm not sure if that was taken into consideration or not, or if because we, honorable members expressed that it's going to be a bit difficult to maneuver the Friday. Sincere apologies to take you back.
Okay. You have a valid point. I know Honorable Hans Singer had proposed that we may even, if I'm correct, look at the... we normally have meetings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in the May. What was the proposal to augment and moving away from Fridays? I know Honorable Hansing had said something.
Chairperson, to have meetings at night, sorry, Chairperson, for interjecting. To have late and evening meetings, Chairperson. That was the side.
Can we reflect on this matter? I think it's a matter that we can quickly clean up tomorrow, Honorable Mabena. Friday versus issues, late evening meetings. It's not a big issue. I think we'll agree as we deal with it tomorrow. Thank you. Let's deal with the issue of, thank you, Honorable Mabena. Let's deal with the issue of letters that are written to us. It's one issue that Honorable McDonald forgot to deal with it when I had requested to be recused last week, Wednesday. There are letters which were written to us, Law Society, somebody who wanted to come and present in the portfolio committee in terms of RAF. I think there were about four. Can you quickly remind us about those letters, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, there were four from the RAF claimant who wants to discuss the issue about her claim. Then there's the issue from the Law Society. There is Darkipedia, and there is the African Rail Industry that also wants to brief the committee. Chair, those were the ones that were forwarded to members.
Honorable members, I think our decision was simple. Let's hear Honorable Mang. That is the hand that is visible for now. Honorable Mang.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. There was something else that was sent to us that Ms. Carroll said didn't touch on. If we could also just get a process, because since I've been here, we have never dealt with it, which is a petition, which was signed, coordinated by Honorable Seisholo. Just some assistance in that regard. But regarding the letters that we have received, my view is that we do not entertain them simply because if we start this way, I went through them, I didn't pick up anything in my view that warranted that special attention be given to them. In particular, if we are going to start entertaining individual claimants who are aggrieved, we will just open a Pandora box. My view is that the letters that were submitted do not warrant us to entertain them, but that the chairperson might, with the assistance of the support team, respond to them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Bawo umani, ndiyavuya kakhulu, mkhuluwa, andiveke o twalisa lendaba kamfowethu. Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, I support the submission of Honorable Manu. I think Chairperson, you will be best suited to address those letters, and it's not for the purview of this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we now deal with the minutes of the 17th of August? I've gone through those, the minutes of the 17th of August. I chaired the session fully. I did not see anything. Any correction or let's hear, I see hands, Honorable Manu and Honorable Mapena.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you so much. I think there are two things there. And technically, it's not to say it was not a record of the meeting, but your guidance will assist us. On number two, deliberations on the Economic Regulation Transport Bill, we were given a summary by Advocate Nell on where we were. And I think this brings into question the minutes of the 26th, as I suggested, because looking at these minutes and what we agreed to pursue tomorrow, that is one issue that, of course, this is what was presented. So it is a correct reflection of the 17th. However, I don't know how we're going to treat it, because some of these things I believe were decided on. So that is the first issue. The second issue, obviously, is the issue of the program 5.2, which is also very correct. And maybe you are going to put it under matters arising, but other than that comment, I would move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Bao Uma Ben, Asara Kerepambi.
No, thank you so much, Chair. I'm not sure whether I can still raise this, but the issue of the processing of the petitions which were referred, I think the petition that Honorable Sitolo wrote, he wrote it to the Petitions Committee. And then the Petitions Committee, because it involves transport issues, it was referred to us. I think the question from Honorable Mang was the process flow in terms of how do we process petitions which are referred to us from other, either from the Petitions Committee or from any other committee. I think we have not dealt with that in terms of the process, how we're going to process that. Unless if I missed something. If I did, I apologize.
Okay. You did not miss something. You are right. We dealt with the letters that are written to us. Honorable Manu, you raised that issue of a petition. You want to say something?
Chair, what Honorable Mabena is saying is correct. I was seeking also clarity that it's one of the documents we received. But it was not clear, as I indicated, for me, the first time such comes to say, how do we deal with it? I only made a recommendation which was supported on the letters, not the petition. So yes, my request still stands, Chairperson. Thank you.
I am not, Valerie, you want to say something on that?
Yes, Chair. If a petition has been forwarded to a committee for consideration and a report, it means that committee has to consider it, have briefings, visit the area, and then report to the House on that matter. This particular one was only sent to the Portfolio Committee on Transport for information, not for consideration and report. So there is no obligation for the committee to report on that to the House. The obligation is from the side of the Public Works Committee. They have to have a briefing with the member. They possibly have to go an oversight to that area, like the Portfolio Committee on Transport had to do it for a previous issue petition. And that committee has to report to the House where that petition will be considered and adopted or not adopted by the House Chair. But for the sake of the committee and this particular petition, it's only for information purposes. So the committee can probably request to be part of the meeting with the Public Works Committee or receive ongoing reports on the progress of that a particular petition, Chair.
The committee will receive ongoing information in that particular petition, as we are trying to limit engagements. Key is that this petition was to us for information purposes. Honorable Mabena, I think we have dealt with that matter now. Thank you very much for reminding us. Any seconder to the minutes of the 17th before we go to matters arising?
I will second.
Seconded, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's now go to matters arising. Any hand? Honorable Mangu, where's Honorable Mangu?
I'm right here, Chair, wide awake.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu.
Thank you, Chair. I would like that the committee takes up 5.2, in particular the issues that, well, coincidentally they were raised by myself, the Road Accident Fund. We need a report, and that we programatize it or we set a date where we can have a report on the issues that were raised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Otherwise, you're going to lose it. Thank you, Chair.
I think it goes for all the issues that were there. Amongst themselves were an issue also raised by Honorable Stolle that needs to be followed up. Let's make a follow-up on all the issues. Thank you very much. Let's deal with the minutes of the 18th of August, 2021. I did share the meeting up to a particular point. And then I read through the minutes that Honorable McDonald was voted in to complete the session. Any corrections? I've gone through the minutes myself, but let's hear any corrections. Honorable Lisa Wagwamani.
Chairperson, thank you again. I'm fairly fine with the reflection. I've only got one concern. I don't know if it is appropriate that we lift the name of Ms. Swanepoel in accepting certain comments, or we just accept the comments as they are presented. If it is common practice, I don't have a problem with it. However, I just looked at it like it was a bit strange that we lift that name of a particular individual. Other than that, I'm fine with the minutes, Chair. Thank you.
Valerie, can you explain that?
Chair, in the minutes on the public hearings, we actually named the presenters and the organization. So members can choose to leave it out or keep it in. There's no issue with this regard, but I just want to clarify that during the public hearings, we actually said who the presenter was and who the organization was.
Okay. Any seconder? Honorable McDonald?
I second, Chairperson.
I can see members are getting tired now. Any matters arising? None. Thank you very much. Honorable McDonald, we have written, issued a statement on the accident, bus accident, crash that killed 30 people. As a chair of this portfolio committee, I've issued that statement on the 18th of August. And another accident you talked about is the accident that happened just next to the parliament. And the condition of the bus having a temporary permit and so forth. We shall have to engage the department in terms of that issue, isolated as it is, and raise it with the department. I think I just wanted us to have a process plan in terms of our agenda. That is why I said, let's deal with this matter, maybe as we are dealing with minutes. I think you have raised an important issue in terms of the roadworthiness of our vehicles, especially buses on the road, which we will take with the department, citing this case as an example. What else am I missing, Honorable McDonald?
Chairperson, you're not missing much. Let me apologize, Chairperson. I wanted to give some context, Chairperson, if you allow me, Chairperson, if I can continue. I just wanted to raise something. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the bus accident, Chairperson, this is the second time that the company of this bus, this company owners of this bus, have been in serious accidents where ordinary black South Africans have perished in an accident. Chairperson, what is concerning is the fact that that bus on the day before it traveled seemingly got the roadworthy and a temporary permit for the bus to drive on the road. Not a temporary permit to transport passengers, a temporary permit to drive on the road. That bus did not have a license disc. Chairperson, it brings me back to a lot of things, but I'll wrap that up soon, Chairperson. Regarding the school children, Chairperson, we have a situation where a more than 15-year-old panel van or taxi was used, which was transporting 22 children in a 12-seater, Chairperson. It cannot be. The problem is, Chairperson, and this is where we have a problem, Chairperson. All the municipalities in South Africa don't use law enforcement, but they use law. They want to use law enforcement as a way to fund the municipalities. There is no law enforcement because that is not the first time that vehicle has had 22 best passengers. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that if you go there, you will find 30 other vehicles driving at the same time, all having 22 school children in those minibuses. That is the problem, Chairperson. We don't have law enforcement. We have just citations. They will just want to write tickets so that they can get. You know, Chairperson, that specific taxi has got 200 outstanding fines. 200. And we can't continue like this, Chairperson. These things must come off the road once and for all. Otherwise, more people are going to die, Chairperson. And I feel that the department must come and explain why these vehicles were on the road, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. As we deal with the program, let's identify these issues that, like Honorable Mapena has said, let's find a slot where we can be briefed on the issue of DLTCs. I think it's a nice way of saying I have this item and this item. Let's find a way of putting it and deal with it. And I think we'll find a slot to deal with these pertinent issues, because otherwise we can't raise them haphazardly in any meeting. We can raise them to find a spot where we can process them. Let's find a spot there. Maybe as we deal with the DLTCs, we can then also include this issue so that we iron it out properly. Otherwise, we are good to go in terms of the issues that were left behind. Valerie, have we done everything that we're supposed to do today?
Yes, Chair.
I like abbreviations BRRR. What is the meaning of that? Valerie?
There is a budgetary review and a recommendation report that is drafted by the committee after it has met with the department and its entities on the annual performance chain.
Budgetary
review and recommendation report.
Review and recommendation report. There is a letter, Valerie, that was sent to members in terms of the AG, the report being delayed, which was supposed to be finalized on the 31st of July. and the letter is indicating that the Office of the Auditor General for the first time finds themselves not complying with the deadlines. And so the report may be sent to us at a later date. It is not indicated. They have just said as soon as possible, which I find a bit I don't know what to say if it comes to the Office of the Auditor General, because they normally work with deadlines. So if they've missed the deadline, we should have an indication. As soon as they are ready, it's not an indication. It could be next year, it could be, I don't know. But let's hope that we will be getting those reports, because they have said some of the reports will be available by end of August. I thought we should also relate that message to the portfolio committee, and I guess that is for information's sake, Valerie.
Yes, Chair, the committee will probably know towards the end of this month what the status of those reports will be. I've noticed that some other departments already informed Parliament about the delay. So maybe at the DG's next meeting on the quarterly expenditure, they would be able to give more information to the committee about that. As I've indicated in yesterday's email, it may affect the scheduling of the briefings in October if there are any delays, like last year where the committee then dealt with those reports in November.
Thank you very much. I thought I should raise that because it was on my radar. Otherwise, let me take this opportunity and say to all members of the portfolio committee, thank you very much. Or let me just ask this question. Do we have Honorable Fikile Khumalo? I have not heard her talking. Honorable Member? Fikile Khumalo?
Yes, Chair.
Ninja Anima.
Hey. Naphila ke lulame kancane.
Ah, siyabonga ululama. Ululame sis. Ululame.
Yep.
Ngiyabonga.
Thank you so much.
With that note, honorable members, I've heard all the voices, if I'm not mistaken, from the members who are present here today. Thank you very much. Until we meet tomorrow, this meeting stands adjourned.
We didn't hear Advocate Mel today. He's in the meeting. Thank you, Chair. You did.
Thank you, Chairperson. See you in the house. Hi,
Peter,
colleagues.
Honor Peter May. We did hear your voice.
We'll see you in the house, Chair. Long live the Chair, long live.
You are chairing my meeting today. Long
Who's
live.
The chair? Who's the Chair now?
We'll see you in the house.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you. Sure. Thank you.